They called it the Ship of Dreams, but it wasn't. It really wasn't. On its maiden voyage, struck an iceberg, killing more than 1,500 people. But what went wrong, besides hitting a massive ice cube in the ocean? The sinking of the Titanic, today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary Tales. Stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget to press that subscribe button. It's me, Harper Brewski, and my dad, Tony Brewski, my co-host. Dad, have you ever thought if the Titanic sinking could have been prevented?
Could it have been prevented? You know, when I was a kid, no. But then as I got older and when I started learning more and more about it, actually, I was still a kid when I was learning more and more about it. So, like, I classify kid up to the age of 5. And then somewhat kiddom from, like, 5 to 15, I was really learning a lot about it. And that's where a lot of things start to kind of come out. And you start to go, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this was a preventable disaster. It really wasn't in many sense. There was a lot of things that went wrong. There was a lot of human error that occurred. There was some poor judgment that occurred. There was false confidence that was in too many people. There were a lot of things that could have been done better that would have made this not happen.
Did you know that one of the officers that inspected the ship before it took off actually forgot to give the key to the room with the binoculars and supplies like that? And actually forgot to give it to the captain. So it was just left in his pocket.
Wow. That wouldn't be good. You know, you kind of need that sort of thing. Because this is a day without radar. This is a day without anything like that. So binoculars are your extra eyes.
Yeah. And so the guy in the eagle's nest, I forgot what it's called, was just sitting there with his hands trying to use that binocular hand thing.
Yeah, trying to make that work. Yeah, yep. Even though putting your hands together in circles doesn't exactly make binoculars because there's no lenses there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that went very wrong with the sinking of the Titanic. And we can start diving into them here on today's show. You can move your hands away from your eyes now. She likes to demonstrate. As she talks.
I really do.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things, and we're going to go through today, the things that went wrong with the sinking of the Titanic, more so, you know, what shouldn't have happened, what could have been avoided. One of the first things is the iceberg warning wasn't sent as an emergency message. And that's kind of key. That's a big thing because sometimes people who are in charge do heed warnings. And if something's not marked as a warning or something is marked as, say, optional or we just suggest or that we ask that you do this or that, I'm sensing a lot of parallels to today. Please, we'd like it if you'd wear a mask. No, you just should wear the freaking mask. When it's mandated, it's and warned, it's different than a suggestion. So White Star Line equipped the Titanic with the latest and most powerful radio communication technology of the day, made by Marconi, and they hired Marconi employees Harold Bride and Jack Phillips to operate it while the ship crossed the Atlantic. Since the new technology allowed people on board to send messages to those on land, many of the upper class passengers just clogged the system with their personal telegrams rather than leaving the lines open for emergency communication. Yeah. So you have all of the rich folks sending messages left and right, and then that doesn't leave lines open for getting messages to and from the ship. Brighton Phillips sent their most time relaying personal messages, and as their stress levels escalated, several other ships began interrupting them by sending warnings of possible iceberg in the Titanic's path. They forwarded some of these warnings to the bridge, and though Captain Smith changed course slightly, he maintained the same speed, essentially just ignoring them. Brighton Phillips eventually became frustrated with the repeated warnings, telling another ship, thanks, and the Californian, to literally shut up. The latter was only miles away and claimed to have stopped sailing for the night since there was so much ice. Possibly offended by Phillips' response, the Californian radio operator turned off his radio and fell asleep because he was told to shut up, because I don't want to hear that news, essentially is what the Titanic was sending out. The Titanic is getting warnings and they're going and saying, no big deal, whatever. Doesn't apply to me.
Basically, the Titanic is being the Karen here, not wearing the mask.
Essentially. Phillips may have failed to pass the Californian's message along to Captain Smith because Evans' message didn't run with MSG, meaning Master Service Gram. The code indicated an emergency that needed personal acknowledgement from the captain. In all, the Titanic received 7 radio messages from various ships warning about possible ice in their path, the last of which included specific coordinates of the iceberg the ship is believed to have hit. But because they were asked almost or warned almost in somewhat of a polite way, if you will, when it should have been an MSG warning, they should have been saying, MSG, iceberg, here's the coordinates, and then you have to take it to the captain. They were getting these things saying, there's icebergs ahead, slow down, it'd be a good idea. We're stopping for the night because we don't want to sink. This one over here is stopping for the night, and Titanic is saying back, shut up. We're sick of hearing about it, essentially, is what happens. And then, well, we know what eventually happens. So this sparring over pertinent information, over facts, over pertinent things that really, really are going to make a difference, because it wasn't worded in, it didn't have 3 letters in front of it, MSG. And who knows, maybe if it even did have MSG, maybe they still wouldn't have taken it seriously, considering the way that they handled the first handful of warnings that came into them. But the fact that they're sparring over people that are trying to help you with pertinent information, there's so many parallels that lie with the story of the Titanic and issues in our world today. But that's an interesting thing right there, that had they maybe gotten the MSG version of the warning, not the one that's in food from the buffet down the road, because MSG is an ingredient, but Master Service Gram warning, maybe they would have taken more heed. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, if I was the Californian, I would just be like, MSG, uppercase letters, MSG.
At least you would have known at the end of the day, you did everything you could. And, you know, I think there was pride, there was frustration that was going on there. Ultimately, it lies with the Titanic for not heeding their warnings, because they did get many warnings that they did not go through. Another aspect of it, with too many people using the ship's transmission frequency at the same time, about 30 minutes after the Titanic struck the iceberg, the ship began sending out distress signals. Radio operators repeatedly then sent out distress SOS and COD, the latter being code specific to Marconi operators, since the Marconi signal was so powerful it reached many ships as well as areas on land. Unfortunately, the Marconi system was a single line, meaning all the responses from other ships and on land operators came through simultaneously. Basically, it interrupts and cuts each other off. It's not like you're going to get this in some sort of a queue. So it's the equivalency, if you have a CB radio of keying the mic over somebody, It just shuts the other one up and you don't get the message. Chaos ensued as the Titanic's radio operators repeated their entire emergency message to different ships, all while being continually interrupted. To make matters worse, the Titanic crew didn't know the ship's exact location and gave potential rescuers incorrect coordinates several times. According to the confusion, amateur radio operators on land heard the distress calls and created more interference by attempting to respond. People later blamed novice operators' interruptions for false reports claiming the Titanic's passengers had been saved and were on their way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Government put several communication laws into place following the Titanic disaster, including limiting the operating power of amateur radio operators and reserving frequencies for specific emergencies.
Did you know that the California, after the Titanic told them to shut up, got those SOS warnings from the Titanic, but the captain of the ship is just like, no, they're just overreacting.
Yeah, there was some of that over there too, where they just kind of sat there. I believe the captain went to bed, and then the operator turned off the radio, so they missed the attempted calls for distress from Titanic. But that was, in fact, though, after the Titanic basically told them to shut up. So
yeah, and also they saw the fireworks, and it's just like, oh, they're shooting off fireworks.
Yeah, there were so many things that did not go right on April 14th of 1912. The lookouts, as you were saying earlier, no binoculars.
At all.
No. Second Officer David Blair acted as lookout in the crow's nest during the first leg of Titanic's journey from Belfast to Southampton. Due to a shuffling of officers, Blair lost his position on the ship and stayed in Southampton as the Titanic set off for New York. While this ultimately saved his life, his actions may have inadvertently doomed the voyage. He asked a crewmate to lock the crow's nest binoculars in a cabinet, but he accidentally took the key with him when he departed the ship in Southampton. Many believe the ship would have never have hit an iceberg, or at least would have had a better chance of avoiding it had those lookouts had access to binoculars. According to replacement second officer Charles Lightoller, lookout George Simmons informed him that the crow's nest had no binoculars after the ship left Southampton. Lightoller allegedly passed the information along to a higher-ranking officer, but claimed to have been told there was no need for binoculars for the lookouts. According to Lightoller, however, there was five other pairs of binoculars on board the ship. If his statement was true, the men in the crow's nest could have used another pair had the Titanic's officers considered the issue important. As a legendary key, Blair held onto it for many years, and it was actually auctioned off in 2007. Guess how much that key went for when it was auctioned off?
Probably more than a home.
It would be the price of a smaller home, $112,000 for that key. But what a key in history, you know, that could have changed history dramatically had someone had that key. It makes you think. It makes you really kind of think when you look at timelines and decisions that are made and what people end up doing and what influences those decisions. Had that man remembered to give the other man that key, and they had those binoculars on board and they took that seriously and they were able to say, oh my God, there's an iceberg, not dead ahead, but there's a high iceberg up ahead quite a ways. We better either stop or turn. The Titanic could have completely missed hitting that iceberg. Now, let's say that that happens because someone remembered to give that key. How many things in life for these people and then many generations to come would have been dramatically different? You're talking 1,500 people who would have lived, 1,500 individuals who then would have gone on their own journeys. Just think of it as spidering out and all decisions they would make and not make, and the people that would have been born, people that would have not been born because of families getting separated and husbands being lost, wives being lost, children being lost. All so many things in history would have changed. And we can't say how or what or when or where. But if you go back, what was the one event in this whole thing that could have given the Titanic its best chance at survival? It was one man remembering to hand a key to another person.
And with that key, if it was handed, the Titanic would still be here today and still be voyaging.
No, probably not. It would have been scrapped many years ago, just like the Olympic was. But it likely wouldn't have, this may have not happened. And that being said, it makes you really think about all of your actions. I mean, you got to think of that day to day. I mean, just like one thing, it's like, if I tell this person this, or if I give this person that, or if I forgot to give this person this or that, or if I introduce this person to that person, what could possibly happen down the road? Not that you can predict that or make decisions based on that, but you always just kind of want to go with your best foot forward and do what you're trying to do. And I know that man didn't try to forget to give that man the key, but that was a consequence of that action, intentional or not.
They could have easily picked the lock or busted that door down.
Had they thought of it?
No.
Had they considered the importance of it? You know, yes, you're right. They probably could have. But
I know picking the lock was invented back then.
Well, sure. Who knows how it was stored, though. But again, it just all goes right back to actions have consequences, whether they are intentional or not, whether you mean to have something have its a consequence, or that's what you intend the consequence to be. Actions have consequences. And the action right there, forgot to give the guy the key, consequence that. And millions of consequences ended up being what it was or not happening because of that one thing. It's just really interesting to think about. And as you get older, you'll see this in your own life. You'll see situations where it's like, huh, well, it's interesting. I introduced that person to that person. And then you look back years later and you find out, oh my gosh, it's like maybe they got married and had kids and all this and that. And like, had I not introduced them, they would have never met. They're from completely different areas. And it was like just a simple introduction or so many things. There's so many little tiny things that mean little to nothing at the moment when you do it that end up having just super weighted, massive consequences way down the road. But it's impossible to know them. It's impossible to see that far. But it is fair to put that thought into your mind of, okay, let's really live a life of trying to make the best choices possible with the information that we have at the time. Sometimes it doesn't work out. You always want to put your best foot forward. You don't want to be a forgetful person. That man was an evil for forgetting that key. But again, consequences. So interesting to see how all that plays out. The watertight compartments were another big thing. This is something in the construction of the ship. One of Titanic's most impressive design additions potentially contributed to its sinking. The bottom of the ship contained 16 watertight compartments that could be closed off when flooded. In theory, this would help contain water seeping into the ship and should the hull be breached. The feature helped inspire Titanic's iconic legacy. The Shipbuilder magazine believed the compartments made the ship practically unsinkable, as they called it. Engineers determined that the Titanic would survive if four of the 16 compartments filled with water. Unfortunately, the hole caused by the iceberg allowed enough water to fill six compartments. Additionally, the compartment's design allowed flooding to spread rather than contain the water, which kind of a design oversight there if it can flood and spread within the structure. Walls separating the compartments did not reach all the way from the floor to the ceiling, which you would think kind of like an obvious one there. Possibly to create more space for passengers and cargo holds. As water poured through the hull, crew members closed the watertight doors to contain the flooding. However, the weight of the water in the containers caused the bow to pitch downward and begin sinking. the angle of the ship then allowed large amounts of water to flow over the top of the walls, which filled up container after container despite the closed watertight doors. Historians generally agree this design was one of the reasons Titanic sank, and it probably caused the ship to sink faster than anticipated.
So if it only had hit 3 compartments, it would have survived.
Possibly, but because of the way it was designed and the watertight compartments not being so tight, it's like you have a room and the very top of the room, the very top of the wall there is open into the next room. So let's say this whole room we're in is watertight and water starts filling it up. And the goal is not to get water into that room. Okay, that's great, but the ship's at this angle and more water keeps coming in. If we can simply stop that water, if this room is completely watertight and there's no crack up there that's going to get water into the next room, the water will eventually just fill this room and stay within this room, and no water will get into those other compartments because it's sealed tight. But because of the design, once it reached the top of that room, it then starts spilling into the next room, the next watertight room, and then the next watertight room. And eventually, you're at such an angle that it's just going to keep going. Even if your watertight doors are shut, it's still just going to keep spilling over and over and over and over. So it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. But again, it was a design flaw, and it was one of those things, probably somewhat ego-driven, of this is such an amazing, spectacular ship that can't be sunk, and we need more room for passengers and for the luxuries of this wonderful voyage rather than the safety of this wonderful voyage. And when you cut those corners or you miss some of those little things, you end up with Titanic.
Yeah, and you really don't want to end up like Titanic.
No, if you're ever in a situation where someone is making a reference to Titanic as an analogy, it's not a good thing, kids. Another thing that has been talked about throughout the years is a possible coal bunker fire that may have forced the ship to travel at unsafe speeds. This is interesting, and I've heard about this before. The Titanic was traveling at full steam when it struck the iceberg. The most common explanation for why an enormous ship would be sailing full speed through a field of ice in dark, concerned conditions is very bizarre. There's no reason as to why someone would want to be doing this, logically. Considering the trip was the last of Captain Edward Smith he was planning to take before retiring, people generally assumed the Titanic traveling speed was based on Smith's desire to prove himself as a memorable captain, you know, hitting like record times, things of that nature. Others, though, have disputed these theories. However, noting that the Titanic wanted to reach New York in its record time, Smith would have taken a shorter route and ordered all the boilers to be lit. Historians also point out that the ship was designed more so for comfort than speed, as evidenced by the swimming pool, gymnasium, Turkish bath, and numerous other dining rooms. According to engineer Robert Essenheim, it's possible that the Titanic was sailing quickly due to a coal fire. The crew discovered a small fire as the ship left Southampton, but although the coal bunker was very close to the Titanic's hull, the chief engineer and captain didn't believe it would be a problem. They instructed the crew to control the flames and continued the journey out to sea. However, Essenheim theorized that the fire remained uncontrolled the longer the Titanic sailed, forcing the ship to cross the ocean quickly to reach a safe port. After examining a photograph that appeared to show a dark streak on the Titanic's hull before it set sail, journalist Sean Maloney believes the coal fire may have started weeks before the voyage, and the company covered it up to avoid bad press. Not only did the flames potentially force the ship to sail faster, but they may have actually weakened the ship's hull, allowing that iceberg to puncture it much more easily.
Along with the black spot rumor.
Yeah, that it wasn't a rumor. It was a black spot that was on the side of the ship. So it's just all part of this thought process of there may have been an uncontrolled fire going on, and they didn't want to alarm the passengers by saying, hey, the ship's on fire and we're in the middle of the ocean. So in relation to the iceberg, that may have been in the back of their minds going, I know there's an iceberg field here, but we have two options. Either we're going to hit an iceberg or the ship's going to catch on fire even more. And it's going to go down that way. Our best bet may be to plow through this iceberg field and try and make it before this thing gets too out of control. That could have been going through their minds. Yeah.
Did you know that the Titanic, the only reason why it had four of those giant tube things on top of it, I forgot what they're called.
Smokestacks?
Smokestacks.
Yep.
Only three of them work. The last one was just for looks.
It was. Yeah. And other ships of the time, it was more, again, it was kind of a prestigious thing. People looked at the four smokestacks as being a
luxurious thing.
Yeah. A more luxurious ship, a more powerful ship, a bigger ship, a better ship. And people weren't necessarily in the mindset of fewer smokestacks means it's more energy efficient and it's running better and faster because technology was getting better at the time. And ships of earlier day needed the four smokestacks, but the technology where they were at then, they could run just as fast, if not faster, just using the three. But the public perception was that of four is better. So that's why they put the fourth on it. All for the misconceived public perception of what people would feel by looking at the ship. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Another thing that was interesting about the ship, the ship's giant rudder, the ship's size prevented it from avoiding obstacles on a very short notice. 882 feet long, traveling about 22 knots. That's about 25 miles an hour. Slowing or altering the Titanic's course once lookout spotted an iceberg was difficult. First Officer Murdoch ordered the engines to be put in full reverse and the rudder be turned in order to avoid the iceberg. However, because of the ship's size and its relatively small rudder in comparison to the size of the ship, White Star Line didn't believe the Titanic would need a large rudder as it wasn't meant to maneuver around any obstacles. Steering was virtually impossible without the engine's help. Putting the engines in full reverse meant slowing the propellers and starting them again in the opposite direction to maneuver used up precious time. Additionally, the Titanic's central propeller didn't turn in reverse, meaning the ship had less power when traveling backwards than it did going forwards. Despite the crew's efforts, they may have simply spotted the iceberg too late, really to prevent the collision, even had that rudder been larger and able to go into reverse. So that right there could have been another thing that, had it been designed a little bit differently, it's all the, you know, the woulda, shoulda, coulda type things with a disaster like this that may have also helped it as well.
Well, that's a good thing to know about the Titanic and what it could have been.
What might have been. One other thing, and you had mentioned it earlier about the fireworks going off on the ship. Despite all the potential mishaps resulting in Titanic sinking, some historians believe more lives could have been potentially saved. Most people are aware the Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats for all the passengers, and that fault lies with the British government and White Star Line for not requiring more. The Board of Trade failed to change the safety requirements for Titanic, which was four times bigger than their standard vessel. This meant the ship's number of lifeboats was technically legal, but it was very insufficient for the number of lives on board. Captain Edward Smith allegedly added to the disaster by allowing lifeboats to leave before they were filled. According to reports, the first lifeboat launched with only 27 people, though it could actually have held 65. Smith also failed to issue an order to abandon ship or give any kind of evacuation instructions to passengers, many of whom didn't realize the ship was sinking or were not accepting it was sinking until it was too late. Some historians also believe the Californian could have saved many of the Titanic's passengers had the crew realized what was occurring. Because they said, we talked earlier, they turned off their radio. When the Titanic's radio operator told them to shut up, the Californian stopped and waited until morning to enter the dangerous ice field in their path. They were only 10 miles away from the Titanic. They could see the ship, but thought it was a different vessel entirely due to thermal inversion, making the ship appear smaller than it was. The Californian's crew claimed they tried to contact the mystery ship via Morris lamp, but received no response. They also said they saw the Titanic's distress flares, but they thought they were party fireworks. Optical illusions caused by thermal inversion made the blasts appear abnormally low in the sky. The next morning, the Californian spotted the Carpathia picking up Titanic survivors just a few miles away. But by then, the tragedy had already struck and the damage had already been done.
Yeah, and so that's why you should make those distress fireworks more serious. Like, you know those, like, fireworks that have, like, pictures in them?
Okay.
Like, you should make one, but instead of saying, party, help.
Well, it didn't say party. It was just little fireworks in the sky. And one should assume, I guess, maybe not, that when a ship is firing off fireworks, that it's usually a distress call. I don't know what the protocol is these days for firing fireworks on a ship. But yeah, it'd be easier if there was, like, you could do SOS or something in fireworks.
Yeah, like, do miner's code, but in fireworks.
Yeah, then people would know, like, this color means that and that color means this. Something like that. I think color may be the easiest rather than trying to get them to light up in specific letters and things like that. Like, red means emergency. And if you have green ones, that's your party fireworks. But if the red ones are going off and another ship sees it, okay, we should go help. Something of that nature.
So, now we know, instead of shooting off white fireworks, they should shoot off red fireworks.
Or whatever it may be.
That wraps up today's episode. Be sure to press that subscribe button wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you may end up being part of a cautionary tale. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Bruski.